Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it speaks directly to us. And we thank you that through your word we are instructed and we are also enabled by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to become more of the people that you would have us to be. So much of what is written in this passage, I guess all of it really, in this passage that we've read today is directed at the church and has to do with church life and what should be happening within the church body and in us individually at all times. So we pray today, Lord, that it won't just be some more words that we read or whatever, but that you'll be working in each of us, Lord, in these areas that we could be a whole and healthy body that loves one another, supports one another, and brings honor and glory to you. Bring your healing among us, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and have the notes to take home, now would probably be the time to get those. The overriding topic here, there's actually two or three topics embedded in this passage here. One is prayer, and the other big topic in here is restoration. And those are the two big topics of this chapter. So let's just start right in with our observations today on this, these very words that we have just read. And these are just observations of this passage. Number one, God works through praying people. Elijah was in the minority. The people were in apostasy. Ahab was king and Jezebel was queen. And the people were living in idolatry and they were living in direct everything against God. And Elijah comes out of nowhere and calls the king on a lot of the things that he's doing. And during that time, God withholds rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine if Virginia and the Tidewater area didn't get a drop of rain for 3.5 years? Can you imagine what Jeff Lawson would be saying? And what people would be saying, and what we would be doing. We'd probably have to learn to desalinate or water, ocean water or something really quick if we went that long. But the thing is, Elijah says to Ahab very boldly, he said, there won't be any rain except by my word for the next 3.5 years. Now, is he making a boastful statement, or is he just simply stating the power that he has with God? And he has this power with God through prayer. He is God's spokesperson. And this thing works both ways. So the prophet is God's spokesperson to the people. And God speaks to Elijah and speaks through Elijah. And Elijah, in turn, prays back to God. And it didn't rain until Elijah prayed for rain. And Elijah didn't pray for rain until the people were so desperate that when he said, let's gather up there on the mountain and find out who is really God, they were ready to gather. But the point is that God heard the prayers of a man. And those prayers very often determined the overall outcome of the events. We can make our own little individual decisions, and we can go our own way, and we can do whatever we want to do. But the final word is going to be had by the Lord God, and the final outcome of certain events is going to be determined by the people of God, the praying, believing, waiting on God, people of God, and not this world. And that should give you great comfort right now in the kind of world that we're living in. And we're living in the kind of world that Elijah lived in. And we are in the minority. And people don't want to listen to what we have to say in a very great way. And many of those who profess to be God's people are apostate in the process. And yet God still hears the prayers of Averna Stevens. And of any of us who will take that kind of time and have that kind of dedication to wait on the Lord. Prayer is not just some little exercise that we go through. Prayer is not just some beautiful words. I can't tell you how many times over the years people have said to me, "Oh, that was such a beautiful prayer." Well, if it was beautiful or if it wasn't or whatever it was, hopefully it was heartfelt, hopefully it was prayed in faith, and hopefully it got the Lord's ear. And thank the Lord that the prayer doesn't have to be beautiful in order for the Lord to hear it. Can I hear an amen? That publican that went up to the temple, not Republican, that publican that went up. He wasn't a church man. He didn't know how to act in church, so he just stood over in the corner and beat on his chest and said, what did he say? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did God hear his prayer? Yes, because he meant it. And so God works through praying people. And I do believe this. I believe that the more we are a person of prayer, not in some ritualistic way, but truly keeping those lines open with the Lord daily and through the day and all of that, I believe that more that we are a people of prayer, more a person of prayer, the more the Lord will work through us. What do you think? Jesus said, pray always. Number two, God answers believing prayer. And we put that qualifier in there. Years ago, there was a Bible teacher named Costa Deer. He was a Greek. And he was with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association or whatever. But I still remember somebody gave me a cassette of one of his messages. The title was, God Does Not Answer Prayer. And he got up there and he said, no, he said, don't judge my title until you've heard me out. He says, God doesn't answer just prayer, just words that are said. God responds to the prayer offered in faith. It is faith. Just like we had a railroad man that used to be with us, Ray Westmoreland or whatever. But isn't it the engine that pulls the train? Right? It's the faith, not the words themselves that are spoken or some ritual that's gone through. God responds to the prayer, but he responds to the prayer offered in faith. That's exactly what it says in this passage that we read today. And the prayer of faith, or in the NIV it says the prayer offered in faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of what prayer? The prayer of faith will save or deliver the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed sins, they will be forgiven. So God answers believing prayer. I'm sure I've told that story here before. Some of you know who George Mueller was, and the man had the orphanage in England and always prayed in every single thing that ever came in there, never told anybody what the needs were, and did this for decades, a giant of the faith and a man of much prayer. On his way to a speaking engagement by boat, the fog wouldn't allow him to go. He said, I'm going to pray that the fog will lift. The captain said, I'll pray with you. George Mueller said, no need, you don't believe. And he knelt and prayed, The Lord lifted the fog, and he got there in time for his engagement. So really, if the believing part of it, and we could spend a whole lot of time about that, there are things that can interfere with our faith. We're too concerned about other things. We see the other things as bigger, and we see God as smaller, and all of this stuff, and it can affect, or if we're in disobedience or whatever, or if we're going through a time where we just think that, you know, get these ideas that the Lord doesn't like us or whatever, and of course, out goes faith. But anyway, the prayer of faith. In order for positive things to happen, is withholding rain 3.5 years a positive thing? It's a proactive thing. In order for proactive and positive things to happen, it's going to require believing prayer. Not just prayer, not just run-of-the-mill prayer, but believing prayer. So one of our prayers probably should be, Lord, when I pray, give me faith to believe that you really will do what you said in your word. Amen? Number three, there is a link between believing prayer and restoration. Very obvious here. Is any one of you sick? Now, a person who is sick is a person who is in need of physical restoration. The Lord is into restoration. That's what redemption is all about. It's about restoration. Restoration of the spirit, restoration of the body, restoration of the mind, restoration of everything. Everything that sin and the curse has taken from us. That's what redemption is about. Restoration. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, not the oil. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, if he is out of fellowship because of sin in his life, if those are confessed, he'll be forgiven and he'll be restored to fellowship, and he'll be restored physically and he'll be restored spiritually the same day. And it'll all happen because of the prayer of faith. So there again, anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil, pray over him. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith. But it's a restoration. And here we have a dual restoration. A restoration in the physical, and if spiritual restoration is needed, that will also be provided. And that's what the Lord, that's the business that he is in restoring. And prayer, believing prayer, is a vital part of that. Because it doesn't happen in this passage until the elders are sent for and they offer the prayer of faith. And then these things take place as a result of that. It tells you what to do. It's like a what to do passage. Number four. Restored relationships are essential to restoration in other areas of our lives. Why do I say that? Because of that next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? That you may be what? Anybody? Healed. And healed is restored physically. Much has been written in recent decades about the effects of anger and of bitterness and of, you know, negativity and things like that on people's health. But one of the things that will stand in the way of true restoration is when there is broken fellowship either between us and the Lord or between us and our fellow man, especially the household of believers. And if we really want to be restored in every way, the two go hand in hand. We want to be restored physically, but if there are outstanding issues of either sin in the life, if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Confess your faults to one another and forgive one another so that you may be what? Healed. Restored. So the more we confess honestly to each other and forgive each other, the more restoration is going to happen. And the more roadblocks are going to be taken down for believing prayer. Let's go to our next point here. Number five, restored relationships only happen through honest confession and heartfelt forgiveness. That's how relationships are restored. Let's say you're out of fellowship with the Lord. You haven't lost your salvation, but you're out of fellowship with the Lord because you haven't been living right. You've been doing the wrong things. You've been thinking the wrong things, feeling the wrong things, having the wrong attitudes, harboring things in your heart that you shouldn't be harboring. And you want to be restored to fellowship with the Lord. What's the first thing you do? Supposed to do? Confess! How many of you, as a child, did something you shouldn't do, said something you shouldn't have said to somebody, and your parents said, tell them you're sorry? Ever happened? Probably never happened to anybody at South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. Apologize. We look down and say, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. That doesn't bring restoration. True confession, heartfelt confession, and actually being sorry. Some people's idea of a confession is, I'm sorry you feel that way. And then on the other hand, there's got to be the other part. That's that part. But there are two parts. Sometimes you have to have two parts to make a whole. What's the other part? Forgiveness! I'm so glad that when I come to the Lord and I confess and I'm sorry and I confess it to him and I claim the blood of Jesus, do you know what he does? He forgives me. He forgives me totally. He forgives me completely. I've never come to him where he did not forgive me, but I've been to people that would not forgive me. And sometimes that's in the house of God. Well, you should have thought about it. You should have thought more about it before you did it. Let me tell you something, and Jesus said it, and it's the truth. You don't have a right to ask anybody else for forgiveness unless you're completely willing to forgive everything that's ever been done against you. You do not have the right, not even to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And restoration comes, it's not complicated. It's just hard to do because of our pride. To just go. I'm sorry. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It just has to be real. And you have to mean it. And if I go and I say, I'm really sorry, and my brother or my sister or whoever it is says, or my spouse or whoever it is, and they say, I truly forgive you. I truly forgive you. What has just happened there? Restoration has taken place. Barriers have been removed. Not only to each other, but to the Lord as well. Barriers have been removed. I tell you what, when things get clogged up around here, we call the plumber so that things will flow again. If it don't go down, call Brown. And when there's that kind of forgiveness, things get unclogged and things begin to flow again. And the love of God can flow. And His Word can begin to really have an impact again. That's the other thing. As long as we're holding on to a bunch of stuff and we hear God's Word, we might even be nodding our head. Hey, it's just like water on a well-polished shoe. It just goes off. Our heart will be open again to receive God's Word. Restored relationships are essential to restoration in other areas of our lives. Restored relationships only happen through honest confession and heartfelt forgiveness. Number 6, we can be used of the Lord to initiate restoration in the life of a fellow believer that has strayed from the truth, by going to them in love and helping them get back on track. Follow the Lord's leading in this. But if you've prayed for that person and you truly love that person and you know that they have strayed, it might be someone in your family, it might be a neighbor, it might be somebody else in this church, it might just be somebody else that you know, and you go under the direction of the Lord and say, listen, I'm your friend, I love you, I've been praying for you, but there is something on my heart I would like to share with you. Would you allow me to share it with you and confront them in love about it? If they don't receive it, it's their problem. But if they do receive it, you have just initiated somebody being brought back into proper relationship with the Lord. And I have to think that the angels sing when that happens. You ever been at one of those hospitals and there's all the noise and the everything else and in the waiting room and all of a sudden you hear that little a baby's just been born? Something like that. Somebody's just been restored. Hallelujah. So if the Lord leads you that direction, now you've got to have a prepared heart to do that. But the Lord delights in this kind of thing. The Lord, hey, the coming of the baby, what is that about? I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, there is born unto you a Savior, a Restorer, who is Christ the Lord. We're going to finish early today. Maybe. Number 7. Our fervent believing prayers pack more of a punch than we even realize. Sometimes you're praying for something and you've been praying for it for a while and you haven't seen anything happen. And it's an unspoken thing. It's not even a conscious thought hardly, but you begin to think, well, I guess this prayer isn't going anywhere, and you begin to slack off. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know if it's true. I've never done it. But somebody said you can take a piece of rock and hit it with a sledgehammer like 100 times and you won't see any difference. And then on one blow, it'll crack apart. I tend to believe that's true. And we don't know which blow is the one. And Jesus talked about persistence in prayer. Just because we don't see a lot happening doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Got that? And furthermore, at a bare minimum, we will be able to say, I was faithful. Just like I used to say, and you all have heard me say it many times, Lord, if I don't close a sale, if I don't get the deal, let it not be because I didn't actually ask for the order. Well, let it be that way in prayer too. Lord, if that didn't happen, if that person didn't come back to you, if that restoration didn't happen, if it didn't happen, let it not be because I slacked up before it was, before you were going to do something. And to be faithful in that area. But our prayers, our believing prayers, pack more of a punch than we even know. And God does hear each of our prayers, and we come with an open heart, and we come believing and trusting and come in the name of the Lord. So pray with boldness. What does it say? Come before the throne of grace, what? Boldly, that you may find grace to help in the time of need. Number 8, and this is from this passage. The greatest power in any society, no matter how sinful, no matter how apostate, no matter how anything, because Elijah lived at a time of some of the greatest apostasy any nation has ever seen. These were the people that were supposedly God's people, and they were behaving at that particular time worse than many of the heathen around them and were in total unbelief. The greatest power in any society is held by God's prayer warriors. That's where the power is. And when revival does come, do you know why it comes? Because there were people, God's people, praying, believing prayer. When there's a breakthrough in a society or in an individual life, do you know why that breakthrough comes? Because somebody was what? Praying. That's why. It doesn't just happen. It happens because of prayer. There used to be a song a long time ago. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sometimes we're the ones who are on the end that we need the prayer. I hope a lot of you are praying for me and for Barbara and for our family. We need prayer like anybody else and like everybody else. But sometimes we're the one to be giving the prayer. And that's what it says here. I don't know. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. So sometimes I'm on the receiving end, sometimes I'm on the giving end, but in every case, it is God who is at work, and in every case, He is at work because His people have gone to Him, and they have offered their petitions in faith and in a spirit of forgiveness and love and mercy and grace, and God has heard those prayers. And God has worked. We don't do it. God does it. But He does it. This still boggles my mind after all these years. But He does it in response to our prayers. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful today that You hear believing prayer. Lord, I pray today that You'll help us. We live in a very faithless society. We also live in a pluralistic society where everybody wants to believe that anybody's belief is just as good as anybody else's. And I believe that that greatly undermines the faith of Your people because it makes them doubt whether You are the one and true and only God. Help us to remember through Elijah that you are the only one and true and holy God, and that you call the shots, not some false god, not some other god, not some other thing. And help us to look less to the technologies around us and stuff like that, and to look more to you. That's not to say we won't use whatever you put at our disposal, Lord. But we know that answers come from you. They don't come from the world. And solutions come from you. They don't come from the world. And even when instrumentalities are used, those instrumentalities, they come from you. And so, Lord, help us to be a praying people. And help us to be a confessing people. And help us to be a forgiving people. So that there can be restoration happening. Real restoration, where barriers are removed and barriers come down, and where all of our prayers are getting through the way that they ought to be getting through. And Lord, that you would be working among us in the days ahead and through us in individual lives, in families, and then at the greater, in the greater community around us, Lord. It's going to take a lot of prayer. But Lord, along with it, forgiveness, along with it, confession, along with it, restoration. And Lord, through this process, that you would be showing yourself in a more, I don't know, just a more fantastic and visible way than ever before. Make us truly people of believing prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.